Today we start a brand new series called Rebuilding. And let me just say, welcome to the new normal. Now, the new normal happens when there are huge, big events that happen and take place in our lives. And they create a normal, but there's a new normal. We don't go back to what we did before. We actually go forward to something different. Let me see if I can give you an example. Do you remember September 11th? After September 11th, there was a new normal that September 11th brought. And for those of you who are old enough and you remember, traveling in an airplane was never the same again. It required security checks. It required, you know, you could bring certain things and not others. It brought a new normal. Now, none of us, when we go back, when we go to travel, get on an airplane, look and say, well, can it just be like it always was? In fact, it's been the new normal for so long, it's the way it is. It is what's normal now. It's what we're used to now. But it wasn't that way before September 11th, 2001. Traveling was a lot different. It was a lot easier. There are a lot fewer hassles. That's what I'm talking about, the new normal. There are events that take place, and they transition us, and they create a new normal. What things, here's my question, what things could be in the new normal? What things could be in the new normal? You hear some of this being talked about, that from now on, things are going to be very different. Maybe all the huge gatherings aren't going to take place. You know, we're talking about college football seasons with half stadium filled because we got to social distance and keep people apart. What things might be in the new normal? Have you thought about this? There are parents in a survey I read recently that 40% of parents said they're thinking about homeschooling their kids. Now, some of you are like, no, they can go back to school. Please open the schools. But for some parents, they're like, wow, we kind of like this. This is going to be new normal. Something we never thought we could do. We're going to do it. Some of you have been working from home, and now companies are looking and saying, why do we have all this space? Why do we have all this office space when people could work from home? And you might find yourself working from home, and that's going to be the new normal. Lots more people working at home, and that's where you're going to find yourself. That's what I'm talking about. Have you ever thought, as you listen to news or are on social media, what things could be in the new normal? Let me ask you a question that we're thinking about as a church. What things could be in our church's new normal? This was totally foreign to us. The idea of doing a service, putting it online, you know, I've thought about it before, but, you know, it takes equipment, it takes things, but we were kind of pushed into that. Well, now we're talking as leaders and we're saying, we know, because of who we're reaching, this is going to be a part of our new normal. And so we're thinking through this. What then becomes part of our church's new normal? And we're asking this question because we know things have shifted and changed. And we're asking those questions and we're trying to plan and prepare for the new normal. One more question. What things could be in your new normal? Maybe your new normal is working from home. Maybe your new normal does have to do with your kids. Maybe it's other things that when things got changed and paused and pivot, you're like, I like this. We got to find a way to continue to do this. But how are you going to continue to do those things that have changed, that are a part of your new normal, and you're wondering, how do I make sure I keep those? Well, I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a book in the Old Testament written by Nehemiah. A lot of it, if you've ever read it through, those of you who've read through the Bible in a year, if you've ever read through this book, you find that Nehemiah talks like he's writing a diary. I did this, we did this. This is a lot of first-person accounts of what happened. So I want to introduce you to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a high official in Persia, okay? He never lived in Israel. His family would have gotten taken away in captivity. He would have been born maybe in Babylon and then to Persia, and he became a high official in Persia. He was the cupbearer, okay? And, right, what does that mean? Just think high official, it'll just help you, okay? And to King Artaxerxes, okay? He had this incredible place of influence. And in 445 BC, because he made a plea to the king, he was made governor of Judah, or that province in that area of Israel. Okay, he just put him in charge of it. Fine, you're the governor. Because Nehemiah was just moved that something has to happen so that our city gets back to normal. My country gets back to normal. And this is a place he never lived, but he had all this ties to it because his family was from there. And so he just has it put on his heart, we're going to go and make a difference. So that is kind of Nehemiah's story. Now, I always think pictures help. Because, okay, so he's a high official in Persia. He lives in a town called Susa. Well, does that even exist today? So if you and I got on a plane and we really wanted to travel to Iran, okay, I realize there's you know, some risks with that. If we traveled to Iran, we would end up in this town, okay? And it's close to the same name. I think you pronounce it Susa today. This is the place that Nehemiah was. This was the place where Susa was, the capital of the Persian Empire. Today, it's in modern-day Iran. This is where Nehemiah lives, you know, hundreds of miles away from the place, from Israel, okay, from Jerusalem, where he is about to go. The other unique thing in this town is this structure, and this structure is Daniel's tomb. Okay, this is where, historically, this is where they set up a shrine. Daniel, the same Daniel that's in our Bible, that is where they have set up his tomb. And you could go there and you'd visit it, and it's part of this town that was known in Nehemiah's days as Susa, the capital of the Persian Empire. So that's kind of Nehemiah's story. He's a high official. Maybe he doesn't think that he's going to do anything but serve the king and serve in the Persian government. God has different ideas. God calls him to, it just stirs his heart. He hears reports about what's going on, and he decides to make a plea to the king that he would go back and he would help his people rebuild. It's an incredible book. It's an incredible book of leadership and how he helps these people come together, and he accomplishes this great task. It's an amazing, amazing story. So I'd encourage you to read through it sometime, okay? It's a great read, and it's just how God moves and works in him, and then he goes back and he leads this great rebuilding efforts. Now, I want you to understand about Nehemiah, there's really three parts to this. And that's why there's going to be 3 weeks of this series. Because this is what I believe we have to do to understand this new normal that we're going to be a part of, to get the most out of this pause and pivot, and now what's happening next. These are the three things that Nehemiah did that we need to do. And that was evaluate, make a plan, and action. Okay? If he just showed up and said, okay, here we go, what are they going to do? He needed to know what was going on, what was happening, and what was taking place. He needed a plan, because without a plan, it never would have worked. It would have failed. It would have fallen apart. And he didn't want to do that. So he evaluates, he makes a plan, and then the rest of the story is action. It is time to get going. It is time to start doing what is next. It's time to rebuild. So I want to take you to the section that has to do with this whole idea of Nehemiah evaluating what's going on before the other two, because that's where we are today. We have to evaluate where we are and what's going on in our lives to know what's next and what we should do to rebuild. So follow along. Here we go. Okay. Here's Nehemiah. So I came to Jerusalem, and when I'd been there for 3 days, I got up during the night along with a few men who were with me, but I did not tell anyone what God was putting on my heart to do for Jerusalem. So he gets there, and everybody's like, okay, this is Nehemiah, you know, yeah. Maybe some of them remembered his family. I don't know how it went, But he arrives there, and he doesn't tell anybody, but he gets up with a few men who were with him, who'd kind of traveled with him, who he knew, and he gets up in the middle of the night to kind of see what was going on, because he had to evaluate before it was time to take the next step. So here we go. There were no animals with me, except for the one I was riding. I proceeded through the valley gate by night in the direction of the Well of the Dragons and the Dung Gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem that had been breached and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. I passed on to the gate of the well and the king's pool, where there was not enough room for my animal to pass with me. I continued up the valley during the night, inspecting the wall. Then I turned back and came to the valley gate, and so returned. Okay, so this is what he does. He gets up in the middle of the night because he has no idea what's happened. He's told stories. It's time for him to evaluate. What's the wall look like? And why is the wall in this shape? Because the Babylonians came in, right, and destroyed the place. And they breached the wall. And the wall was their security. Without the wall, anybody could come in. Anybody could attack them. They had no protection without their wall. And that's why it was the first thing Nehemiah set out to do. Hey, I'm coming here to do this thing. It's time to rebuild the wall. So he goes out during the night, and he evaluates. He finds out where the biggest holes are, which need the most attention, maybe which ones are going to be the hardest, and he evaluates. And that's where you and I are at. We're at where Nehemiah was when he arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, he gets up in the middle of the night, and it's time to evaluate. That's what it's time for today. And I want to invite you into evaluating where you currently are, where you are in your life, your family. You got to understand, we're doing this as a church because this is an opportunity. I know we didn't think about it like that. I'll be the first one to tell you, I didn't think about it that way. This was not an opportunity. This was a hassle. This was just an annoyance. Really? Can't we just go back? Can we just go back to normal? I can't believe how many times I said that early on. We just, probably many of us did. Can't we just go back to normal? Can't we just return to normal? And now, when you begin to travel along, you begin to pray and you say, God, what are you doing? You begin to see that God loves to use situations like this as an opportunity, as a reset, as a restart, as a moment to rebuild and do things differently. If all we are in a hurry to is return to normal, we are going to miss out on what incredible things God has for us. And that's the whole thing behind our church, behind Thrive, that God has an abundant life for us. Abundant doesn't mean we get rich and we get whatever we want. It means that God's way always has great purpose, great meaning, great satisfaction. And this is a moment where we get to pivot, maybe from areas we weren't doing very well in, places we were struggling in, and we get to be stronger and to move forward and to see what God has in store for us. So how are we going to do that? See, Nehemiah needed an honest evaluation to take the next step and formulate a plan. If we just started in and saying, okay, it's time to make a plan, we'd be like, what? We have to evaluate first. You need to understand, the elders and I, we've already been doing this. We've looked and we said, wow, there's some things that are happening that are incredibly encouraging. We're reaching more people than we ever reached before. We need to keep doing that. That was just a simple evaluation tool. One of them this week was the survey we sent out. Why? Because we're trying to evaluate, okay, where's everybody at? Where's everybody thinking? So that we can move forward and love one another and be community and be what God has called us to be as a church. Okay? It's not one size fit all. It's not go back to normal. You need to understand, we're not going back to normal. We are in a new normal. We believe God has something incredible in store for us. And we are inviting you to be part of that. And we're inviting you to actually do this for you and your family and what God has in store for you. So Nehemiah needed an honest evaluation to take the next step. How will you take an honest evaluation? I started asking this question, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And take a moment and take some time and evaluate. Please, don't think you're going to sit down in 3 minutes and jot some things down and be done. This happens through prayer. This happens through asking questions. This happens through communication. Okay? If you're married, you do not do this alone. You do this together. Okay? As husband and wife, you include your kids in this, because there is moving forward and there is something that God has in store for us. So how will you take an honest evaluation? Here's what I'm going to try to help today. Here's what I'm going to try to give you a tool to help you take an honest evaluation of what you need to keep, what needs to be a part of your new normal, and what is, we got to do something different than that, okay? Here's this. This is available in PDF on our website, on our message link. You will find this. We'll put this out in different forms throughout social media. Look for that. If you're watching on YouTube, it will be in the links in the comment section. That's where I like to put those things. And here is a simple tool. This is simple. This week is evaluate time. And I need a list. And I need to know what we need to keep. Maybe things stopped and all of a sudden you weren't running around all the time. And you did family meals together. And you went, wow, I want to keep doing this. So you would write in that family meals. Maybe you're like, I don't like all this separation. I need to figure out how to get in the community better. And so you just write discard separation. I need better community. Okay, but you need to evaluate where your life is at and what is going on. This happens as a family. This happens for the activities that your kids are going to be in. This happens for what's going to take place for you. It's time to evaluate. What do we keep? What do we discard? What do we get rid of? Now, here's another question. How do I decide what to keep and what to discard? You ever think about that? Okay, so how do I decide that? Just by what I want? Just by what I think would... How do I do that, right? How do I do that? How do I decide? How do I take that list? How do we do this as a family? How do I take that list? So let me give you just a little bit of wisdom from Paul, who said this in a couple different places. It's interesting, both times, which is the church at Corinth. Like, you need evaluation tool, okay? You need some help, okay, knowing what to keep and what to discard. And he said this. I think this could be incredibly helpful, and this could be a lot of wisdom that we could interject into our lives. Here it is. Paul says, everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is lawful, but not everything builds others up. Do not seek your own good, but the good of the other person. So, in other words, he was trying to help believers figure out what to keep and what to discard. Most of us don't know how to do this well. We just don't. We just kind of like to go along with what everybody else is doing. And we don't think, is it good? And we just think, oh yeah, I can do it. It's lawful. There's no law against it, right? So it's okay. It's okay that I do it. And he was like, no. There's a better way to evaluate than that. There's a better way than just, oh, well, you know, it's awful. It's okay. No. What's beneficial? What builds others up? What seeks the good of the other person? These are the type of questions you need to start asking as you take that sheet and look at it and examine it and say, okay, where do we go from here? Okay? Start asking questions like this, okay? You got your sheet, keep, discard. What is best for us? What is best for us? As a family, what's best for us? Is it best for us to keep having meals together? Yeah, we've been able to reconnect that way. Is it best for us maybe to have those family nights that we just kind of avoided and threw out? Yeah, those have been really good. What's best for us? What will build others up? There's a great question. What will build others up in our lives? What will be a tool that will build others up? What will build your spouse up? What would build your neighbors up? Maybe there's been a new community formed in your neighborhood and you've been helping one another and you're like, I don't want to go back to not doing that. Well, that's building others up. What's best for my spouse? Start asking that question. What's best for my spouse? Maybe through all of this, their work environment changed and they're working from home and you see this drop in stress level. You know what you need to say with that? Okay. I think we need to find a way for you to work at home, and maybe that'll happen. That should be in the keep pile. Work from home. I see the difference it makes in you. What's best for my kids? Not just my kids want to be in everything, so I'm just going to put them in everything. No. I got to ask this question. What's best for my kids? What's best for them? What helps them? What serves them? Keep, discard. What if we use that as a way to help us evaluate this whole idea of a new normal and how we are going to rebuild? I want you to know rebuilding is not easy, but nothing worthwhile ever is. It is not easy. Please don't think you're going to do this in 3 seconds. This is going to take this week. This is going to take revisiting this list and having conversations and going back. I certainly don't assume that we'll have one elders meeting and we'll figure out all this stuff for the church. This is ongoing. This is a lot of prayer. This is a lot of study. This is a lot of looking at what we can do better. So rebuilding is not easy. It is not easy. Don't think this is easy. My goodness, what could happen if we rebuild? What could happen if we entered this new normal and said, you know, this pause happened. I didn't want it to happen, but I'm not going back to the way things were. I think God has something better in store for us, and I want to run to that. You see, we don't rebuild back to normal. We evaluate to rebuild to a new normal. I think way too often we're just so eager to do this. Let's just rebuild back to normal. But we don't do things that way, do we? When we rebuild, we say, okay, hey, if I had an option, this would be far better than the way that used to be. So let's rebuild this way. And you see things differently. And you rebuild to a new normal. A new normal that helps me evaluate so I keep the things I want to keep and I get rid of the things that haven't been good. So what are you going to do this week? Can I just invite you to take some time? Take some time. Print this out. It's a PDF. Maybe you just want to stick it on your phone or and have conversations and you want to get out your own notepad. It doesn't matter how you want to do it. I just want you to do it because I think this is an incredible opportunity. I didn't always think that. I just wanted things back to normal. And when it was clear that wasn't going to happen, now it's what could happen next. I have been amazed at the opportunities. I've been amazed at the number of reach that we've had. I've been amazed. And so if you ask me, let's just go back to the things the way they were, no. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. We want to rebuild to a new normal. So can I pray with you today that we'd take that list and we'd ask for lots of wisdom, that God would help us to know what we need to keep and what we need to discard, that we would be open and honest. We would ask some really good questions. What builds others up? What's best for my spouse? What's best for my kids? What's best for us so that we live out a life that honors God and serves one another and accomplishes all that God has in store for us. I hope you'll pray this for us as a church, because Tuesday night, it's back at it. It's okay, we're in a new normal. What are we going to do to move forward? So let me pray with you today that God would help us to evaluate and do things even better than before. Heavenly Father, these last 10 weeks have been really challenging. Really challenging. And if we were honest, all of us have had moments, and maybe we're still having them, where we just want things back to normal. But that really, Father, doesn't honor, I believe, what you want for us. That you have something great in store for us. And this is a great time to change. This is a great time to change. Be the family you've called us to be. To have the marriage you've called us to have. This is a great time to rebuild. But to rebuild takes time to evaluate. Would you help us this week? We need to have a lot of honest conversation in our homes. Father, as elders and pastors, we need to have a lot of honest conversations about what is next for our church and what you have in store for us. Would you help us to be honest? Would you help us to have those conversations? Father, would you upfront remind us, this is not easy, but it's totally worth it. Help us to carry that out. Help us to see what you are doing in the new normal. Help us to have stronger marriages, stronger families, and a stronger church that carries out the mission you've called us to through all of this. This is a week of evaluation. Help us to be honest. Help us to evaluate. And then help us to take the next step. We cannot do it without you. We ask you to lead us and guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week, right? Make sure you work on your evaluation this week. Next week, time to make a plan. It is time to make a plan. That's Rebuilding Part 2. We hope you will join us.